This is the LexisNexis Tax Law Center podcast. Presentations and interviews with leading attorneys and industry professionals. On this edition, Krista Denton of the Bar Association of San Francisco on the Volunteer Legal Services Program's Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic Pro Bono Project. The opinions expressed by guests interviewed on LexisNexis legal podcasts do not necessarily reflect those of Reed Elsevier Incorporated, LexisNexis, subsidiary companies, shareholders, employees, or customers, and should not be considered legal advice. Krista Denton has been working for the Volunteer Legal Services Program of the Bar Association of San Francisco since 2001. In 2009, she became the director of the new Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic, which will begin its second year in 2010. Previously, Ms. Denton also served the Volunteer Legal Services Program as supervising attorney of the Family Law Project for 6 years and as managing attorney of all Volunteer Legal Services Programs. Before joining VLSP, Ms. Denton worked with both Legal Services of Eastern Missouri and Legal Services of Western Missouri, practicing in the areas of family and juvenile law. Ms. Denton earned her law degree from St. Louis University and her bachelor's degree from the University of Kansas. Your host is LexisNexis Acquisitions and Legal Editor Peter Miller.
Good morning, Krista, and thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Krista, the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic is a relative newcomer in the lineup of pro bono tax counsel services being offered through the Bar Association of San Francisco. But the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic network is national. Can you tell me just how extensive is the need for pro bono tax counsel, and is the need being met?
The need is great, and actually there are low-income taxpayer clinics throughout the country. There are many of them, and many of them do utilize pro bono counsel to help meet the needs of their clients. Volunteer Legal Services primarily relies on the use of volunteers, whether that be attorneys, CPAs, or enrolled agents, to help serve our clients, and the need is very great, particularly in this economic time where individual taxpayers who several years ago were doing fairly well have now suffered hard economic times, and the IRS perhaps takes 3 years or more to audit or try to start collections on a tax deficiency, and that's when the taxpayer is calling us, and now they are perhaps unemployed. If they were self-employed, their business has gone under, they have no money, no way to pay their tax deficit, and in great need of assistance, and certainly can't afford to hire an attorney.
Sounds like the demographics for the client base are quite broad then, especially in these distressed economic times. What can you tell us about that as far as the resources that are available to the low-income taxpayer clinics are concerned? In other words, are the funding and other essential resources adequate to sustain the mission that you're carrying on here?
Well, you know, I'd like to say that it's definitely sufficient, but unfortunately, just like everyone else, non-profits such as Volunteer Legal Services are also suffering during this economic time, and our funding has gone down, both individual giving and also under grants. The Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic is funded by the IRS through the Taxpayer Advocate Service. However, as a nonprofit, we also have to provide matching funds, and we primarily do that at our clinic through the use of volunteer-based hours. So the pro bono efforts of the attorneys count towards our dollar match in providing the services. However, it's really not enough to cover the need, and we definitely are not able to serve 100% of the people who do call us at this time.
That's very interesting, and implies that you may not have as much of a volunteer base as you'd like. I suppose you can never have enough, but as much of a base that you have as far as volunteers are concerned to serve the clientele, what is your outreach strategy to get volunteers to provide these services?
2010 will be our second year of funding as a low-income taxpayer clinic. Other clinics, even in the San Francisco Bay Area, have been around for a few more years. Our strategy for the first year was primarily relying upon the larger firms who have tax practices and their pledge to provide so many pro bono hours valued at a certain dollar amount. In addition to that, we do hold events where we invite both IRS personnel and attorneys from other firms or solo practitioners in the area of the tax area to come and to learn about the services that we provide and to find out how they may become involved. So as of now, the larger firms have been, I'd say, a big portion of the pro bono services that we do offer. However, we do have a number of solo practitioners and even newly graduated students, those coming out of an LLM tax program who have yet to secure a job, who are wanting to take on cases and get experience before they are able to find a job. So it's a little bit of a mix in terms of our outreach strategy. And, of course, we also pay attention to the attorneys who show up in tax court representing paying clients. And if they're not already on our outreach list, we do tend to call upon them to let them know how their services could greatly impact the needs of the low-income taxpayers that we serve.
Well, there's certainly a substantial need, from what I'm hearing today, for additional volunteers going forward on an ongoing basis. What is the relationship between the clinic on the one hand and the IRS and U.S. Tax Court on the other?
Well, we do receive partial funding from the IRS through the Taxpayer Advocate Service. We would not be a low-income taxpayer clinic if we did not receive that funding. However, we are separate from the IRS. We do have to follow their guidelines in terms of the clients that we serve, both based upon their income level and the type of case that they have. Generally speaking, clients need to be within 250% of the federal poverty guideline to be eligible for our services, and their tax deficiency for each year needs to be under $50,000 for each year, excluding penalties and interest. And we also can't help individuals who have incorporated businesses unless it involves their employee tax matters. As far as the U.S. Tax Court, we are also completely independent of the U.S. Tax Court, and any information that a caller provides us, a taxpayer provides us, is kept confidential, that is not disclosed to the IRS in any way other than the type of case that they're presenting and the numbers of people who call us, and their information is definitely not shared with the U.S. Tax Court from our agency individually. However, we do apply to the U.S. Tax Court to be what is considered a recognized low-income taxpayer clinic. This means that they recognize that we provide services to those who file petitions with the U.S. Tax Court to have their matter heard in the San Francisco area. And once we have done that, every time a petitioner files something and they designate San Francisco as their place of trial, they are sent a flyer with the information of all of the recognized clinics within the area who would provide them services. So many of the taxpayers find out about our services through that flyer that is actually sent out by the U.S. Tax Court. Separately from that, we also have a recognized pro bono day of docket program with the U.S. Tax Court. This was established more than 12 years ago by Karen Hawkins, who was a tax litigator here in the Bay Area. Now she actually works for the IRS. But we did take that over last year, the responsibilities, and basically we have volunteer tax attorneys there the day of each docket call to give advice and information to all of the unrepresented litigants who appear the first day of the docket call, which is a separate recognized portion of our program.
Now, Krista, you're obviously personally involved in a very concentrated way with the San Francisco Bar Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic, but these clinics are all over the country, and they have some similarities and some differences, I imagine, with yours. Can you tell us about the differences and the similarities?
Yes, the similarities are simply that they are all funded by the IRS, and you can find a list of them at the IRS website, www.irs.gov, and you can link on to find low-income taxpayer clinics throughout the country. The number of them range per state based upon the population. In San Francisco, there are currently 4 clinics, and the clinics throughout the country do differ in the way that they deliver their services. Some are academic-based, meaning that they come out of a law school or an LLM program, and the students there are actually providing the services under the direction of a professor or someone else to the taxpayers directly. They may not go into court and actually represent them, but they do help them with everything that they can do pre-litigation. Another variation is many of the clinics, they do provide some litigation assistance, but they definitely do more one-on-one services with their staff at the clinic, and they do not rely as heavily on pro bono attorneys to provide the services to the taxpayers. And so they're more of sort of a walk-in basis. You know, perhaps you make an appointment and you get your services right then and there. Our model is somewhat differently in terms that we do a little bit of both. Taxpayers are welcome to come into our clinic. However, it's really better to call us, and we really talk to the taxpayers, give them advice, give them information about what is going on. Many people who actually file a petition with the U.S. Tax Court don't even actually realize that what they're doing is that they are filing a suit against the IRS that is going to appear before the U.S. Tax Court. So that's actually news to a lot of taxpayers. We try to give them information and advice. We work very hard with the taxpayers to try to figure out what their problem is, to figure out the merits of their case, ask for their paperwork, and then try to narrow it down so that we can simplify it and then place it with a volunteer attorney who needs to know the simple facts before they meet with the taxpayer to provide ongoing representation.
Well, now, Krista, you mentioned earlier that the current economic distress that we're going through right now has driven an increase in the number of clients seeking services through the clinic. What tax matters and controversies typically arise? Is there any pattern or do problems vary widely? And is that a function of the economic crisis that we're going through right now?
I think there are a number of cases that are primarily based upon the economic circumstances that we're under right now. However, the matters in general can vary. As to the economic-based cases, many of those are people who have made errors on their taxes in years past, and now they have been audited, they've been assessed a deficiency, and they are unable to pay it, and perhaps it goes to collections. And the IRS generally will place a lien against the person, a federal lien, a levy or a lien, try to take everything out of their bank account, or just place general lien against the person. And if they're unemployed, this can be a great hardship because many of these taxpayers really do want to obviously become gainfully employed again, and they do want to deal with their tax matter and move on. However, the tax lien that is placed upon them by the IRS oftentimes prevents them from actually finding employment, as many employers do check the credit of those who are applying for a job. And if they see that there is a federal tax lien against them, that is perhaps someone that they are not going to want to employ. So it's sort of a very bad cycle for the taxpayer, particularly those also who are living on fixed incomes, receiving Social Security or disability, and they're subject to a lien or levy, basically taking away a portion of their very small amount of money that they're receiving. And in the Bay Area, it's a very expensive place to live, and taking even away 50 $60 from an individual can really mean the difference between paying all of their bills and being able to feed themselves or not. So that's where we can step in and help.
The scope and breadth of problems that taxpayers are experiencing seem to be on the upswing. Would you have any suggestions about what tax practitioners can do to help out and become a part of the mix here?
Well, actually, you know, many of the cases, I would say, are surprisingly easy for a tax professional to deal with. Many of the cases really just involve assisting the taxpayer in understanding what types of documentation they need to provide to the IRS to solve their tax matter, because many people don't understand the difference between, a receipt versus something that they wrote down saying that this is what they paid in a given year. So oftentimes it's just a matter of explaining to them, helping them identify the documents, and then really just solving their problem without ever having to go to litigation. So many times a little bit of effort by the part of a pro bono volunteer can go a long way in helping a taxpayer. And this also goes for both a federal matter and a state matter. Generally speaking, as a low-income taxpayer clinic, we can only become involved when the IRS is involved, but oftentimes that also means that the state is involved as well. So usually both matters need to be addressed at the same time. And depending upon the state, obviously the approach is going to be very different. Most of the cases are not that daunting. However, we have had many cases that really do involve very interesting legal issues that a lot of the attorneys or associates are interested in becoming involved with. We've had everything from Ponzi schemes to unclear settlement agreements that involved personal injury. Therefore, some of the money should have been excluded from taxes, all the way to worker classification and something called innocent spouse. This applies particularly where someone is involved in an abusive relationship and they really have no control over the finances or the signing of the joint tax return, and
right.
They do so out of fear, and then later on, many years later, after perhaps they've left the relationship, they're now being asked to pay for the tax deficiency because the taxes were incorrect. And this is where an attorney can step in and try to separate it out and show how this person really should not be subject to paying the tax penalty, and it should be shifted to the spouse.
Well, Krista, it's very clear, especially from the last example or area that you just described, that pro bono work in the tax area is highly valued and should be as a meritorious public service. And I thank you very much for sharing your insights here today.
You're welcome.
This has been the LexisNexis Tax Law Center podcast. Visit the Tax Law Center and all our communities at www.lexisnexis.com/communities. The LexisNexis Tax Law Center podcast. Copyright 2009 by LexisNexis, a division of Reed Elsevier Incorporated. LexisNexis, Total Practice Solutions.